Hey, podcast listeners, it's Michael Shelley here. Another special edition of the podcast, unfortunately, because one of my favorite guests passed away. I worked on getting this guy on the air for a while, and it was just a pleasure. It just came out great. So I'm sorry to have to bring you this podcast under these situations, but it's a good thing, and that we can pay tribute to Joe, and I've got something I didn't air before makes this podcast, I think, extra special. And what you're going to hear first is when I call Joe, and he puts me on hold, and then he comes back, and he jokes around a bit, and then he cuts a few IDs for me. And it's very sweet. You can hear, I think you get a good window into who Joe Franklin was from hearing really wasn't supposed to be aired. But he's a pro. And then we go into the interview, and I'm going to fade that out. And then what you'll hear is what aired in 2011 on WFMU on my show as I introduced the interview, which was on tape, of course, and I just sort of set up who Joe Franklin is, in case you don't know. Not everybody knew who Joe Franklin was and how getting the interview came about, because I think that was part of the Joe Franklin experience, was just dealing with his schedule, his life, becoming a part of that. So then you're going to hear Joe Franklin's theme music. So first, though, we're going to hear the part that really wasn't meant to air. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope in some way this pays tribute to really just part of real show business, which is so little of it is around these days. And Joe, to me, personifies exactly that sort of dying real show business. So I hope you are well, and I hope you enjoy this little tribute to Joe Franklin. Joe Franklin, it's Mike Shelley. How are you?
Who's this?
Michael Shelley from WFMU.
Hold on. Just here. Let me hear the end of my show. Hold on, Michael, please.
Sure.
I'm Becky. Hold on.
And they all relocated from L.A. to Hollywood. And the way he could do that is he set up an infrastructure. He changed California history. I mean, not history, California architecture. It used to be the old Victorian home, and he did hillside Mediterranean-style architecture, and all the movie stars wanted to be in the most up-and-coming place, and that was Hollywood.
Can I ask you, why are the history books overlooked or minimized the role, the importance of H.J. Whitley?
Well, he was a quiet man, an honest man, and it wasn't really his goal to get notoriety. He just loved helping people, and that's really what he did. He didn't...
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you Bloomberg Radio's coverage of NCAA.
What do you say, kid? We're doing okay?
He's doing okay.
All right.
How are you?
I'll do whatever you need. What should I say, Michael?
If you could just do a few IDs for me. You're listening to Michael Shelley on WFMU.
Let me write this down. Hold on, my boy.
Sure.
Hold on, my boy. Think it'll come over clear on the phone?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, actually.
Okay, hold on, don't run away.
I'm patient.
Is that the college station? Is that the one that Rich Connolly's on?
No, this is a station, it's just a community station. It's been here for about 52 years now.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And listener supported. And
and what town are you?
The studio is in Jersey City right now, and just right across the water.
What do you got, Michael? You got a disc jockey, record album, record show?
I do. I play all kinds of records on Saturday morning. I also interview folks. I've interviewed, you know, everyone from Sam Butera to Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, Brenda Lee, all kinds of people.
I'm going to take the phone off the hook. Hold on. Now, let me get rid of this phone. Hold on. Hello? Timmy, were you listening? Yeah, at least we got on there because we just lost about 20 seconds with the rest of the show got cut off, you know? Listen, sports pays the rent. You can't knock what pays the rent, right? No, but it pays the rent. Listen, it's on again tonight at 7, not 8. Yeah, but 7:37 and then 1:37, yeah. Listen, let me ask you a question now. Are you home? I'm taping an interview with a fellow at WFMU station, WFMU. Very big station, got maybe 10 million people listening, you know? If they're drunk, right? How many you got? 10 million listening?
Yes, at least.
At least 10 million, and if the weather is clear, at least 100 people, you know what I'm saying? Now listen to me, do me a favor. Call me in 10 minutes. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes, please. I got something good to tell you. Hello, Shelley?
Yes.
Michael, right?
Yes.
So, Michael, so give me a clue now. Just, if you're listening to my good friend Michael Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y, Shelley, right?
That's right.
And what about the show?
WFMU, I play number one hits. Sometimes we call the station the Fun 91. If you could just give me a few different versions of that, Joe.
I'm ready to go. Let's go.
I'm taping.
Ready?
Yes.
Hello, my friends. Joe Franklin here of Memory Lane. And I'm listening along with you to my good friend Michael Shelley on Fun 91 WFMU. I think he's got a great, great show. Keep listening with me, and we'll enjoy it together for a long time to come. Michael Shelley, the one and only.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Is it the Fun 91, right?
Yes, exactly. You sort of got it all in there. You want to just take another shot at it and mix it up a little?
All right, hold on. We'd say hello to someone. Just walked in. Hold on.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Hello, listeners. Joe Franklin here from Memory Lane. I'm a legend in my own room, a legend in my own, something or other. And I'm listening to another up-and-coming legend named Michael Shelley. And I'm a big fan of Michael. He's got a terrific show on WFMU, Fun 91. I think his choice of guests and music and memorabilia and nostalgia and what's hot and what's not is very much in the present limelight. Let's keep on listening for a long time to come to Michael Shelley. He's the one and the only on WFMU, and I love you for joining with me as we listen together.
That's great. You are a professional, Joe. Joe, you got just a minute? I can ask you some questions?
Of course.
Wonderful. Joe Franklin, born in the Bronx, I believe, 1926. Is that?
I was born about the same year as, Don Rickles and Tony Curtis and Jerry Lewis and Dick Clark and Tony.
It is Joe Franklin time, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background. One thing I've found out is that I not everyone knows who Joe Franklin is. People that grew up, especially outside of the New York City area, don't know who Joe Franklin is. And I know I've got listeners all around the country, all around the world. So a little background. Joe Franklin is an 84-year-old man who hosted a television talk show in New York City on Channel 9, which was New York City. Luckily, we had three local stations in addition to the network stations. And Channel 9 was kind of, I think, the lowest rent of those three. It's kind of hard to say. And they had Joe Franklin on at various times, but for most of the time I was paying attention very, very late at night. And Joe was famous for having lots and lots of guests on and keeping it moving and unflappable. Just a really fun show, and had everybody from, you know, the Ramones to Bill Cosby to Woody Allen. He had everybody on the show. So, just a legend. He was on the radio. He's still on the radio today on Bloomberg Radio. In fact, he's on Saturdays. So I was trying to track down. I've been trying to track down Joe for a long time. And finally, actually, Drew Friedman, who's going to be on Rex's show in a couple hours, hooked me up with the Joe Franklin hookup. And so I call him, and you can hear there's 20 phones ringing in the background at all times when you call Joe Franklin. And he's very nice. He's very direct. He says, "Mike, I'm crazy about you. I want to make you very happy. Call me back next week." So you call him next week. "Mike, this is fantastic. Call me in 25 minutes. You call, "Mike, can you call me next week? I'm being interviewed right now. It's a very big thing. I'm happening on the other line." So finally, we set a time, and I call him. And I call him, and he says, "Hold on, Mike. I'm listening to myself." And you can hear that he's on the radio in the background. He's listening to himself. And then when his own thing got cut off because the radio station had to cover a football game or a baseball game or something, and then his phone rings and he answers it and he talks about himself on the radio to one of his friends. He says, "Listen, I'm doing an interview with Michael Shelley from one of the biggest stations in the world. Call me back in 10 minutes. And he hangs up and he begins the interview with me, which I know will probably only last 10 minutes. And at the very end of this interview, you can hear Joe Franklin's phone ring, start to ring, and then you hear Joe wind up the interview, end it, and he answers the phone, and that's how it ended. Very interesting guy, a great story, really an amazing interviewer. You know, I think Joe Franken is sort of a punchline of sorts because he, as he says himself, his whole life is slightly tongue-in-cheek. He's been parodied on Saturday Night Live and parodied by Uncle Floyd. But really, what he does and what he has done for so many years is fantastic. And I'm truly a big fan. So let's hear from Joe Franken. Joe Franken, born in the Bronx, I believe, 1926. Is that?
I was born about the same year as Don Rickles and Tony Curtis and Jerry Lewis and Dick Clark and Tony Bennett. That was a golden, magical year for all of us superstars. I'm only being facetious, but it was a good year to be born.
Absolutely not facetious. You are the king of nostalgia, the author of 23 books. Tell me, how many records do you own?
By the way, my last book, called Up Late with Joe Franken, sold 75,000 copies.
Oh, wow.
And they're all in my house. And I might also add that it's now in its third printing, because the first two printings were blurred. No. As for the records, I've got maybe 1,078 RPMs. I don't know if people nowadays remember the days of 78 RPM records, but they go around pretty rapidly, and I've got everything ever made by Al Jolson, Eddie Cantor, Bing Crosby, Rudy Valli, Bob Hope. It's just an enormous collection.
Yeah, I think, well, is it really is Al Jolson and Eddie Cantor, the love for those guys that sort of got you moving towards show business, isn't it?
Yeah, they were probably the leading reasons. I think before them I met a man named George M. Cohan. Remember the name George M. Cohan, Yankee Little Dandy? I met him in the park, and he autographed. I asked him, did you ever make any records? He brought me to his home, and he gave me one of the old records. Back in those days, Michael, there was only one-sided records. They didn't have two-sided records yet, so he autographed the record for me. And I said, Mr. Cohen, how many records have you made? And he said he made about 10. So in the course of going through junk shops and memorabilia stores to find those 10 records, I found out that the Cantors and the Jolsons and the Kate Smiths and Rudy Valleys had made hundreds or thousands, so I knew right away my life's work was sort of cut out for me. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job with Martin Block. Remember the name? Make Believe Ballroom, Martin Block?
Is certainly.
That before your time, probably. And then Martin Block got me my own radio show. Then I got a call one day from Channel 7. And they were considering lighting up in the daytime TV. That was only on from 5 o'clock at night till a certain minute. There was no such thing as daytime TV. And they said, Joe, we like the way you talk. We like your style. We like your speaking voice. We'll give you an hour a day. What kind of a show might you do? I said, how about if I do a show of people just talking nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball, organically? And they said, Joe, you're out of your mind. You can't do a talk show on television. The word is vision. You got to give them seltzer bottles and pratfalls and baggy pants and burlesque kids. You can't do a talk show on television. So, you know, rock and roll was coming. I said, listen, how about I do a show of kids dancing to rock and roll records? They said, Joe, now we know you're not. So we're going to watch kids dance to records. Who comes along? Dick Clark becomes a billionaire. But I defied them, Michael. I think I did the pure first organic talk show. And it was, I think talk shows are here to stay nowadays. Would you agree with me? They sort of caught on a little bit, huh?
Absolutely. You started a trend. Over the, how many years was the show, your television show?
On TV, 43 years. I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records. You know, Johnny Carson did 30 years. I met somebody two nights ago. He says to me, Joe, I was watching Channel 13 the other night, and had a cavalcade of talk show hosts. He says, I saw Johnny Carson. I saw Mike Douglas. I saw Merv Griffin. I saw Steve Allen, Jack Parr, all so many, but no Joe Franken. You know what I said?
Hmm.
I said, they're all dead. I said, I'm still walking and talking. Like, you're a good answer.
Yeah, amazing. You were on the air, I think, from 1951 to about 93, every single night.
I'm on radio even before that, and then, you know, I'm still on Bloomberg Radio every day and doing, you know, just listening to myself right now talk about the history of Hollywood. So it's, I'm not going to quit this business, Michael, until I get it right.
Well, keep trying, kid. You had about 300,000 guests. What makes a good guest, Joe?
Believe it or not, I had half a million.
Half a million.
I had five U.S. presidents. I had Ronald Reagan 5 times. I had Charlie Chaplin. I had
Woody Allen?
Woody Allen, of course. I was in a lot of his movies. I mean, remember the movie Broadway?
Of course.
And I had John Wayne. I had Cary Grant, at Frank Sinatra 3 times, Bing Crosby twice.
Joe Franken, though, what makes you such a fantastic interviewer is that you can interview a completely unknown or a president and still have a fantastic conversation.
Well, that was part of my appeal. I had what you might call, an eclectic mix. I would have Ronald Reagan on with the dancing dentist. I would have Margaret Mead with the man who whistled through his nose. I guess, look, whatever it was, there was a big story in New York Magazine that I invented all these techniques of you know, like stupid pet tricks that Letterman does. And right. Letterman mentioned my name the other night. It was a great, great plug. He's very big, very good. I think talk shows have gotten a little bit mean spirited, a little bit evil, but you can't knock it. It pays the rent, you know?
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. What makes a good guest? What makes somebody a good guest?
I think the answer is the host. The host. You got to sort of look in his eyes and fascinate him and remember and mesmerize him and make him forget he's on TV. You know, most of them would rather be home writing books and making money with the editor. Says, listen, you want to sell books? You got to make the rounds of talk shows. You got to go out here and plug your property, your latest venture. So you got to, it behooves the host to sort of get him to, you know, get the plug for the book on fast, and then with the movie stars, plug the movie fast. And nowadays they seem to like girls with long legs and stuff like that. In my day, it was more Sammy Davis and Harry Belafonte. But listen, I enjoy this chat. Will you invite me when you're in town? Come on my show, will you, Michael?
Of course I will.
And I really appreciate this, Michael, and God bless you.
Thank you, Joe Franklin.
Keep up the good work. I'm very proud to know you, Michael.